Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to today. We've got a couple of announcements. Due March 1st, that would be next Sunday about this time, is orders for Easter flowers. It says form is available in the narthex, but my bulletin had a form right in it, so yours might as well. But that's to contribute to flowers to decorate the sanctuary with for Easter. There's also a Ridgeville Township Fire Department pancake and sausage breakfast. Also a week from today. That sounds pretty good to me. It's from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m., so I'd encourage you to go either before church or after church, but to actually be here next week. And then there is an Adopt-A-Bag food drive, and that is a food drive for the seminary at Fort Wayne, because those seminarians are always hungry. So let's support them. And that's not for a couple more weeks, but you can start thinking about it now. Thrivent Choice Dollars, that's this week. And if you don't know what that is, you probably don't need to, or contact Kathy Ashmeyer. And that's all I have for announcements. So let's go ahead and begin with our opening hymn, O Christ, You Walk the Road, number 424. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I acknowledge my sin to you.
I did not cover up my iniquity.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive me all my sins, and grant me the power of your Holy Spirit, that I may amend your sinful life.
Upon this, your confession, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. God strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
May he who began this good work within you bring it to the completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent comes from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruits of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, having heard the word of our Lord, let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and we'll invite the children to come forward for a children's message. Okay, so in the gospel reading that we just read, do you remember what happened? Violet? Oh, thank you. That was the Old Testament reading, yes. So when Adam and Eve ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to, what happened? They had to leave the garden. Yeah, so the devil tricked Eve into eating it, and then Adam went ahead and ate it because Eve ate it. Probably he didn't want to be left out, and they had to leave the garden. And that first sin, that was the first time that Adam and Eve had done something opposite what God told them, And that first sin led to all the troubles in the world that we see today. Crazy, right? So, because Adam and Eve sinned, and we get in trouble today, what do we do about it? Do you have an answer this time? We pray and we say sorry. Saying sorry like that, we call that repentance. And repentance means we say sorry and we try not to do it again. What else do we do? Can you think of anything else? Violet?
If your parents don't know that you did something naughty, you should tell them.
That's true.
And they told you not to do it.
That's true. That is a good thing to do, but that is not the thing I was thinking of. The thing I was thinking of is that we believe that Jesus died on the cross to take our sins away so that the naughty things that we do don't hurt us anymore. Does that mean that if we believe in Jesus that and then we do something naughty that our parents won't punish us? No. Right.
Like that's how God is. When we did something wrong, he still loves us.
Right. When our parents punish us, it's because they love us, right? If you're running in the house, they tell you to not run in the house because they don't want you to get hurt from running into sharp corners or something. Is that right? You guys run in the house all the time? Yeah, dogs like to do that. How about if you don't do your homework, then your parents yell at you to do your homework because they don't want you to grow up and be dumb?
We always learn from our dumb.
Well, that's why they want you to do your homework, is so you won't be.
We do our homework with our parents so we don't forget.
Right. Yeah, so sin. Sin is the bad stuff that we do. It's also the way we are because Adam and Eve ate that fruit off the tree. But we always need to repent and say, I'm sorry, and try harder not to do it, and remember that God loves us and our parents love us. Does that sound right to you? Yeah, me too. Okay, guys, thank you very much. You can go back to your seat. So now we continue with the hymn of the day, number 418, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you guys familiar with the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment? It was done in the early 70s at Stanford, obviously, and it was led by Dr. Walter Mischel. Now, it was pretty harmless, as these kind of experiments go, which is good, because they were experimenting on preschool-aged children. Here's how it went. A child was put into a room with a marshmallow. The researcher told the child that he could either eat the marshmallow right away or wait a little while and get a second marshmallow. If he waited, he would get two marshmallows instead of just one. The tricky bit is that the researcher would leave the room, so the child was left with nothing to think about except the marshmallow. For the kids, this was a test of rule following and willpower. They're alone in the room. There's nobody watching. There's no adult to remind them what they're supposed to be doing. It's just me and this delicious treat that I really want to eat it all up right now. This is how a lot of adults approach the idea of temptation also. In our gospel reading, Jesus is tempted by Satan himself, and he gives us the ultimate example of how to deal with temptation. Now, this is a pretty familiar story, but for context, it comes right after the baptism, where the Father's voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," and then the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and remains on Jesus. Now, that same Spirit that had come down like a dove, we're told, led Jesus into the wilderness, where he wouldn't have anything to eat for 40 days. At the end of that, he was hungry. And not, "I skipped breakfast, I'm hungry," kind of hungry, but more like, "I can't think straight, my body is shutting down, I'm hungry." So into this story, Satan comes to Jesus, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Now, at first glance, this seems like a reasonable kind of a suggestion. After all, when Israel was in the wilderness, Jesus fed them with manna for all those years. We know he can turn water into wine, so stones into bread should be no problem for him. So how is this a temptation? Now, Jesus' stomach was telling him, "Enough is enough. It's time to eat." Satan is suggesting a straightforward solution to his problem. He could have easily thought of the manna in the wilderness and how it sustained Israel and justified to himself making some bread. But is that good reasoning? If we go back and look, the manna was a response to the people of Israel complaining to God and saying, "You have brought us out of this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Remember, it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. It was God's idea that Jesus not eat during this whole time. Israel could have trusted in God to sustain them in spite of the hunger, but they didn't. Jesus' answer saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God," it shows us that he is not thinking of himself as just an animal that must eat constantly in order to sustain itself. Rather, he's an actual Son of God who understands and believes that the Father loves him and will care for him despite all appearances to the contrary. Sustaining him without food is no more difficult for God than turning the stones into bread, after all. Plus, if Jesus was to be sustained with the bread, the Spirit could have just led him into a town that had bread. But it didn't. It led him into a wilderness with no bread. Now, of course, Satan's not done yet. On his second try, he takes Jesus to the top of the temple and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because God will instruct his angels to bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Now, in some ways, this is similar to the first temptation with Satan saying, if you're the Son of God, then prove it. But what would really be proved if Jesus were to throw himself off the roof? If God were to act and those angels were to save him, whose idea would it have been? Not God's. In fact, it would be Satan's, with Jesus unwittingly going along with it. Satan, in this case, would become the master and God the slave, doing someone else's will. That's not good. Is this kind of temptation something that we still see today? Is it one that we might fall prey to? Imagine a Christian whose parent becomes gravely ill and prays, Lord, if you love me, heal my mother. Compare this to, Lord, I know that you love me, please heal my mother. In the first one, there's a demand, like how one might treat a worker. In the second, there is faith and a heartfelt request, like a child might make to a loving parent. That's why Jesus replies, again, quoting Deuteronomy, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Who's the teacher and who's the pupil in your relationship with God? Now, of course, Satan's not done yet. In his third and final attempt, the plan is clear. Offer the world if you will fall down and worship me. This is idolatry, pure and simple. I find this temptation the most perplexing. Honestly, did Satan think this would work? Did he not realize that he was offering all the kingdoms of the world to the one who created those kingdoms and still sustains them? Maybe Satan was just out of ideas. Still, as a fallen human myself, I think this is the temptation I would have fallen for. Make me the king of the whole world? Oh yes, please. Anyhow, idolatry is clearly something we all still see today. Money is probably the most common thing that we fear, love, and trust above all things, but it could be anything really. Friends or family, our own strength or intelligence, our country, even our church can become an idol if we come to rely on it more than trusting in God to take care of us. Note that none of these things are bad things, not really. They are all gifts of God given for our good use. The problem comes when we rely on these uncertain things as if they were trustworthy while ignoring the true God because we can't control him the way we want to. For each of these temptations, the right answer becomes obvious if we just remember that the one true God who created the heavens and the earth loves us and wants to care for us. We can trust in him. His promises are sure. He is the single source of certainty in this uncertain world. Going back to the marshmallow experiment, the kids were being tested on their willpower. It was part of a larger experiment where they looked at where those kids ended up years later. And what they found was that the kids that had more willpower and waited to eat the marshmallow, they tended to have what they called better outcomes than the ones who didn't. They got better grades, they went farther in school, they got higher paying jobs and earned more money. These are the kind of things that willpower can get you. However, when we run into temptation, if we use our willpower to avoid it, we are relying on our own strength. That's just going from the frying pan into the fire. We're making an idol of ourselves, not trusting God to be our Savior. So then, when we find ourselves being tempted, what are we to do? We can't just give in to the temptation, and we can't resist it on our own. Well, obviously, it sounds like we need a Savior. Adam couldn't resist temptation in the garden. Israel couldn't resist temptation in the wilderness. We fail today, but Jesus didn't fail. He endured his temptation without sin so that he could present himself as a perfect, blameless sacrifice before God. He endured the shame of the cross so that we could be baptized into his righteousness. When we fail, and we will, his grace is sufficient. We can always repent, always ask forgiveness, and be forgiven. But that's not the end of the story. Paul tells us, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Right in the moment that we realize we've been caught in temptation, we can call out to him. He wants to help us. When Jesus was tempted, he didn't rely on willpower. He quoted scriptures. We can do the same. We can pray for help and receive it. But when we fall, what we can't do is say to ourselves, I'm just a sinner, that's how it is. Paul again says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So, remember your baptism. That is where your sins were forgiven and you received newness of life. Come to the Lord's table and receive the divine nourishment that can sustain you into life eternal. Learn how to and practice relying on God for every need of body and soul. Rely on God the Father to supply your needs, the Son to save you, and the Holy Spirit to guide you. And of course, seek him where he promises to be found, in his word and in his sacraments. Temptations are sure to come, but as Jesus tells us, the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is his promise, and this is our hope. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now continue with a hymn, Praise and Thanksgiving, number 789.
Praise and thanksgiving, Father, we offer for all things living, created good, harvest or sown fields, fruits of the orchard, haze from the mown fields, blossom and wood. Bless the
God for your offerings. They allow us to keep the church going, to keep his gospel going out to the world, and they show your faithful goodness. So that it's very good. Now, please rise, as you already are, and let's pray. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, in the midst of this life, we are beset by many temptations. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, who bore temptation for us and resisted to the point of death, and bring us through the evils of this fallen world to dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they turn from evil and live. Give pastors courage to warn of sin and death. Give all Christians strength to defend that message. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers from all unrighteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and to worship you alone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak, the healer of the sick, and the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled in mind or body, the dying, and those who grieve, especially Don and Alice Kleck, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Deb, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brady, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Jema, Judy, Kyle, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Deb, Schnitke, Carol, Jordan, Tyler, and the family of Christine Smallman. Sustain them through their afflictions and pain, heal them according to your gracious will, and deliver them at last to the everlasting life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you covered the shame of our first parents with animal skin, and thereby foreshadowed the perfect sacrifice of your Son's blood, by which we are cleansed and clothed. Give us garments of repentance and faith, that we may receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, though you gave us stewardship of your good creation, we love the gifts more than the giver. Save us from trusting in our possessions more than in your Son. Teach us to use what you have provided to help those in need and to relieve the poor, the unemployed, and the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world in the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now receive this blessing. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace.
Amen.
We We now close with our hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Brought Us, number 851. Thank you for braving the snow and the cold to make it here today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.